perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. All right. We got the know-how, we got control. We got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. All right. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 179 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. Please go today to patreon.com/grills to support us. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm joined by all the co-hosts. Returning for at least today is The Jen, one of our original grills who helped found the show with me.
Hi.
Hi. Also, we have Linda.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hey.
Now, tonight we're going to be talking about cyberpunk. I know you're all really into Cyberpunk 2077, the game right now, but cyberpunk is a whole genre that I grew up with and we are all been into, and we're going to talk about that. So, what have you girls been up to this geeky week, Linda?
Still working away on my dragon blanket. And for the live folks who are with us, my background is different this week, and it'll be different next week because I'm getting a new desk. So, enjoy the fake fireplace behind me. I've gone for full cozy. Because rearranging shelves and such.
But are you doing the weird wintertime spring cleaning that everybody seems to be doing right now?
I mean, it's because I've got a giant new desk coming and it was not going to fit where my old desk fit. So I have to shuffle. But the fun thing about all that is I found some ancient treasure while I was, like, cleaning. And because, like, the shelves that had all of my plushies on it went actually into my craft room. And the shelf that was in there that had, like, drawing books on it has come into here. And I found my old iPod from college.
Oh, wow.
So, with treasures.
To 2004 to 2008... Linda had some, good music that I've been slowly listening back. It's going to take me forever to listen through all of it, though, because I had, like, thousands of songs on my little iPod, so cool. That should be entertaining. It's just, I set it up with, like, this old player that I have in the craft room, and that's just my mood music while I am crocheting. Speaking of, this week I have made a catnip doobie for my kitties. So the little, the faux cigarette.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
Oh!
Rolled cigarette.
Hand-rolled cigarettes.
That I've liberally sprayed with catnip. One kitty's asleep right now, so... I'm just going to chuck it back over to where they play.
That happens when you hit the catnip pretty hard.
Yeah. So I was testing the pattern for that. It's pretty simple. So I'll be able to make it for one of my coworkers who wanted a couple for her cats. Also, I was testing it for durability because I was like, I don't know if this is going to survive being chewed on by a cat. So I had to, test it. I've been wrapping presents, and I have finished my dragonhood that I was working on, but the unfortunate thing is that my want to crochet too tightly has struck again, and it's child-sized.
Oh, no.
It is not going to fit on my head properly.
What color is it?
It's black and red.
Oh, okay.
So, this front... The little front scale here is supposed to go here on your forehead. But if I do that, I look like I'm wearing a pikeman's hat. It's the back of it is supposed to go all the way back here. And it no fit me. So I'm going to have to make it again. But yes, it'll be going up on the store. Just as a child's hat. Practice.
Yeah.
I can either use the same pattern, but add some rows to it to make it longer, or I can use bigger yarn and not bother with changing the pattern. I'll have to experiment, I suppose. But yeah, I finished it. I was like, oh, cool. I'll show it off when, you know, tonight, because I finished it like today, and I was just like, doink. Nope. That doesn't fit.
Oops. Oh, well. Well, you've been busy. Good. So what have you been up to, Jen?
A lot. No, I'm playing a lot of League, mostly because I can just League of Legends, because I can just play a match and then go back to whatever I'm doing, especially because I play a lot of TFT. So I'm still climbing. I get platinum every season, and this season I'm having the hardest time I've had getting platinum, so it's really kind of ticking me off, if I'm being really honest. But I've been trying to find time to do nerdy things. I've started drawing and painting more, again, because it's something I can do in small tidbits. In fact, I feel really dumb, because now I'm like, man, I should have shown stuff off that I painted. But I have been working too much. For those that don't know, the Jen became a teacher, and I teach high school, and my first year of teaching is during a global pandemic. So that was weird.
Whee!
And a poor choice on my part. If I ever wanted to have a life again and, I don't know, be a human. But yeah, look, here's a... But then when I'm really depressed and stressed out, I just paint beautiful things and then just pretend that everything is okay, because the sunflower is to paint, and that's what I do. Yep. I'm surviving. That's what Jen's doing. But it's almost winter break. I have less than a week, and then I get a whole 2 weeks off, and I will only spend a part of it planning for the next semester. Yes.
And what about you, Ray?
Let's see. I finished binging The Crown season 4, which was like covered Thatcherism basically, and I love it. I've never cared about the royal family.
It was
really
amazing.
Before, but I'm like, I'm addicted to this show. It's so good. Like, my favorite thing is to finish an episode and immediately go to Wikipedia and figure out like what actually happened. Like, that's my favorite thing, because I don't understand like people wanting to have a disclaimer that it's based on people but not true. I'm like, that should be obvious. it's not a documentary, it's a like a dramumentary.
Don't you remember the JFK movie pretty much tells how most people learned how that all happened? So unfortunately, and parts of it are true, but then there's always you got to make it feel good and feel good. I still want the Princess Anne spinoff, though. I'm just saying. That's all.
That would be awesome. I love her so much. It's like, of the ones I relate to, I'm like, yes, you, I get you. let's see. And WoW, I joined my Covenant, which is the Venthri, which are basically the vampires of the group. They're all about taking the souls, because Shadowlands is all about like the afterworld and different like different ways that you rehabilitate souls. So their whole thing is like basically forcing you to confront your sins and wear them and deal with that before you can go back. And yeah, so that's cool. That's my favorite one. They're gothy as heck. I love them. And there are so many Into the Shadow references, like it makes me happy. I got to play Cyberpunk 2077. Very briefly. My husband bought it, and during one of his breaks, he's like, did you want to make a character? I'm like, yes. So I quickly like got through character gen, got through like the tutorial. I don't think I got to the main screen yet. I was about to do my first mission, and I just like stopped and took a bunch of poses and found out you could do the Sailor Moon pose, so that was a thing. And that was pretty much it. A lot of gaming.
Well, I too have been painting. I've been showing those on the stream. Rob and I were painting these Christmas paintings, and we put them up on our mantle, and that worked out really well, and I think we're going to keep doing that seasonally. Jen's sunflower, totally. Like, that's going to be, there's going to be a sunflower. in the autumn or something, or late summer. I don't know how often we'll do this, but so there's that. Making jewelry, some on commission, some I've had somebody text me asking me for pieces, and I'm like, you know, there's all this stuff I just made over at the Coffee Lodge, and you should just go get it. Like, it's going to fill your needs, and I hope he does that. But I picked up these really cool pendants that I'm really looking forward to working with. And I think they're going to be like 2020 commemorative pieces. It's like the plague bird with bat wings. And I was like, ooh, I have these beads and there's this spot in it. And I could put this rose bead in there. And
nice.
That's really cool. I was like, oh shit, but I've got this green thing that I use for my Kraken pendants, and I've got some of these left, and the green would be really cool, like Lovecraftian look. So I went back and I grabbed, they had one left when I went back. So I have two of these, and I will be making two pieces. And my friend Tanya's like, dibs! I'm like, I think I'm keeping this. And that was it. But now I'm making two. So I probably won't keep both. I will probably sell one. It'll be so hard to decide which one. I, too, started playing Cyberpunk 2077. Rob bought it for our anniversary. So
jealous.
It's like,
I'm jealous.
What we did was made a character together, and we're playing together. Like, he sucks at driving, I'll drive, and then we'll walk around and we're experiencing the story together. We created the character together. He created his own character today. Like, we went nomad. He created his character in Corp, and I imagine, I mean, for me, street makes, that's kind of genre I like. So that'll work out really well. We'll have our own profiles, but then we can also play it together. And until one of us gets, like, I don't know, a little burnt on it, we'll probably try to at least experience the story first time together. So, yeah, that's really cool and fun. And it was a good present. So, that's that. Thanks for being around to catch up with us, folks. Now we're going to talk about cyberpunk, the genre. This is a really close to my heart. I think we're all into cyberpunk in all of our own ways. But for me, I am literally old enough that I grew up with this. Like, things were coined, and I was already born, and I think I'm the only one of us that can say that. And it's really interesting. Like, I remember Cyberpunk, the RPG, which is ironically, like, the third edition is how it's most commonly referred, which is funny because that was, they renamed it. There was a 2013, which nobody ever talks about, and then it was Cyberpunk 2020 was, like, the most commonly referred to version that people actually know about, and now we actually live in 2020. But I got
into... And it turned out to be crazy, which is perfect.
Right? But, and especially with the dystopian nature of the cyberpunk genre. The term was first coined in 1980 by Bruce Befke, combining cybernetics and punk. And, you know, punk being, I got into all these things at the same time. Like, in the early, mid-80s, I got into punk rock music, and I was a nerd helping run pre-internet BBS systems, and we used to do phreaking, like when phone cards were still a thing, and we'd do war dialing to try to hack into, like, no local networks, like, doing some shit when I was 16, maybe, and we're, like, war dialing, which, those of you who aren't familiar, you could, like, set up your computer with the modem to just keep dialing phone numbers sequentially until a modem hit would happen, and then you could try to get in. And I remember the screen popping up for Charlotte Cross, which was an elementary school locally, and it was like, oh my god! Like, they apparently had some kind of remote login to the school. Now, we weren't able to successfully hack that or anything.
I like this world, and I miss, okay, you're gonna get there. You're gonna get there. When we talk about Gibson, yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there.
But it was such a, like, we were a bunch of punkers and doing underground stuff and fuck the corporations. And that's kind of how this, genre developed where people were looking forward, and people have been inspired, obviously, by things like Philip K. Dick and earlier sci-fi that had that dystopian, where is tech going to take us, that was imagined. But cyberpunk was, it kind of came out of this more actionable idea, and this dystopian genre was born. Books that I, you know, early on picked up because I was already interested in sci-fi and fantasy, things like William Gibson defining the genre, which has always been a little very ironic to me, because Gibson actually was so not into tech. It was very much just shit he made up. He didn't know anything about computers. And of course, for years after the like fandom developed, and he was like such a early birthing of the genre everyone latched onto, because he was, you know, using things like naming AIs, and then of course those of us had already been, I mean, we had handles online because we had BBSs before the internet, and we would always use a fake name, but we were using shit like Trillion was one of my first handles from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and Zaphod, and you know, stuff like that. And then you started seeing things like Wintermute, like people naming stuff after the AIs in his books. So, yeah, there's like a million things to talk about. And a lot of these references, you know, stuff like Neuromancer, Snow Crash, Altered Carbon, which, by the way, if you guys have not watched the series that streams, that the Altered Carbon, I really, really enjoy that.
Isn't this the last season of it too? So it's a really good opportunity to get in if you even, because I tend to like it when things are, I know that it's going to be done and I'm not going to get pissed off when I get canceled in the middle. So yeah. I'm like, okay, good. I can go back and actually watch this now. Cause I watched the first couple episodes and was like, okay, I'm totally in. But if this gets canceled, I'm going to cry. So I'm just not going to watch it.
And waiting for now next, I'm like, season. Okay. And so, but like, yeah, if people want to jump in now, like they get, at least I really liked it, and you'll be able to just, you know, wait till the last season jumps and then binge the whole thing.
I mean, the funny thing is that Gibson gets so much credit for it, and it always cracks me up because he is the one that's always given like the most, I think most people go to him, and don't get me wrong, William Gibson is one of my favorite authors by far, so I love him. Mona Lisa Overdrive is incredible. Everybody loves Neuromancer, of course, but the thing that always cracks me up is that the one that I actually think did the most for like the depth and the breadth of the genre is Philip K. Dick, because his stories are what perpetuate, or like his short stories are what became, I don't know, things like Blade Runner, Minority Report. I mean, Scanner Darkly he wrote, which if you ever saw that movie, you understand why that is something that also has to do with the genre. The Man in the High Castle, do you like that show? Guess what? That's also because of his short story as well. And it's super sad because he died at like 53 or 54 too. So it always makes me wonder like how much more he would have been able to produce if he had lived longer. But I feel like it's because his stuff comes from short stories.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he planted those seeds. He didn't really, it wasn't a genre in itself, but everyone after him took those little seeds and ideas. Like I would put Ray Bradbury in that category when we look at, you know, things like in a sci-fi like Fahrenheit and those short stories that have those images. Like Gibson had to have been reading a lot of Bradbury to, well, he didn't have to. I mean, he could have come up with that on his own, but like what's the one with the nursery and the animals in it and that whole smart home thing, right? So there are those kind of
some
early
of those
influences.
Are scary.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's why I think I like, one of the things I like about it is it pushes the edge of technology, which is why I've been so excited about Cyberpunk 2077, which I feel like it's, of course, we can't have this conversation without talking about the fact that, because we've all been obsessively, 2014, E3, and I saw red letters on the screen and was like, oh my God, are we getting teased for this? 2014, mind you. Mm-hmm. And then we hear nothing for 2 years. And then we get letters across the screen again. I scream. I'm with Curly. Poor Curly is trying to do actual content. I'm freaking out. And he's just like, calm down. And I'm like, I can't. I'm freaking out. And then that we had to wait 4 years. And then I'm sad because I haven't even played it yet. But I'm going to have breaks
soon
so I can.
And we are later month going to do a whole episode
on waiting
for games and delays of games and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, the thing I love about it is, like, where did you have to put it to make it push the edge of technology? And we had to go that far out. And that's what has always made that genre so interesting, is it's just pushed so far. And it's just like, you take the little bits of what you understand about technology now and then just push them to an extreme. And that's what makes it so cool.
Yeah, and it's like it was just, originally in the RPGs, for instance, they had it kind of coinciding with real life. It's one of those RPGs that's like close enough to what you know exists now that the Breakaway was only in 90. But then the game wasn't even really being bought very much, and then they had to move it out and move it out again. And, and by the time we get the video game, it's got to be 2077. And some things last and some things don't. And I think it's a challenging genre to write in for that reason. I mean, we're still not...
Because you have to always push a crazy envelope.
Yeah.
I mean,
Gibson, we still haven't reached Gibson level putting our mind actually in the machine to visually do a hack, right?
But I mean, who doesn't think about Black Mirror when you talk about that? Like, the moment you say that, my brain immediately goes to Black Mirror and, like, the perfect example of, like, that stuff. The reason it resonates for people is because it's, like, what happens when the world is like that? And we're telling stories in that world, and that's what Cyberpunk... I don't know, Cyberpunk's just really fun. It's just really fun. It's, like, my favorite aspect of sci-fi.
Of the corporate, like, anti-corporate. It's always had, like, an underground tone to it. And it's, like, how much is that... the result of the technology, and then the corporations were over surveilling and you're rebelling against it, or how much is, you know, just like the punkers I hung out with pulling up manholes and hacking into phone lines. Like, it was, we had the tech edge. The grownups didn't know what the fuck we were doing yet. I love the movie Hackers. I will always love the movie Hackers. It
speaks
to me so hard. And it's funny to watch going back, because they did a more in real time than you'll see nowadays. Like, we're not to the Matrix yet. Blade Runner is a great movie, but the Hackers has things that's like, I know exactly what he's doing right there. Like, that exists.
Well, it's like the phone trick. Like, that really worked. That,
yes,
at that time,
that really
it actually worked. Like, we would legit do that.
That.
Of course, people now are like, what? What phone thing? Oh, yeah. Well, there was these things called phone booths that, like, were around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do big cities have those anymore?
There are a few around.
Maybe, like, a few, but not really.
I mean, not really. I don't know. We were watching Sister Sister because it's been it's, like, on Netflix, and it's, like, kind of one of those things we watch just because we can turn it on. And there, like, was an episode that heavily featured a phone booth, and we were just like, this is so ridiculous. And watching, like, a 9-year-old try to understand what the technology was like in the early 90s is humorous to me.
Yeah, I feel like cyber has pushed the pushed technology in some ways. The same way, like, I think Gibson's visualizing has had people pushing for VR. I mean, look at way Star Trek as a sci-fi genre. Like, there are inventions that came from, like, oh my god, I need a tricorder, and now we have smartphones. Like, there had to be influences in there. But to write fiction and not end up being leapfrogged...
I definitely know my first cyberpunk experience in media was an anime called Bubblegum Crisis, which is like an 80s anime. But the main character is named Pris, that later I would watch Blade Runner and be like, oh! But it's like this dystopian future, like lots of neon because it's the 80s. I love it. And they're like, they have robotic suits that they've stolen from the corp, and they just go out and like do their own thing. And then soon after that, my husband, well, then my boyfriend, but Scott gave me a copy of Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson. And I'm just like, this is the best book ever. He's like, do you want to play it? I'm like, we can play this? And he pulled out a copy of Cyberpunk 2020, the RPG game.
Yes.
And we made a Snow Crash game. And it was so good. And I think like a few years after that, hello, my cat, we got to play Shadowrun. And I'm just Shadowrun. This is my genre.
Oh, God, I loved though. It. The like, character, I could... like, the design the of that game I hated, though.
That's my point, is that I loved the idea of the game, but the actual implementation was like bullets and spreadsheets and like algorithms. And I was like, I'm fucking done. This is too much math. We ended up doing was we would do this special event game at this one of the LARPs I played at when I lived in Chicago. We would do our vampire LARP, right? And then once every couple months, we would have just the game where we got to play our characters, but like just jacked up cybernetically enhanced like vampires. And because there's all these cybernetic enhancements, basically your goal is to survive the night while all these humans are running around with all of their cybernetically enhancedness. And basically it was us and like storytellers just basically blowing our cyberpunk love wad of like, just like, blah, have all the cyberpunk in your vampires, yes. Deal with it.
Loved... I love the idea of Shadowrun, but when it took 3 days to make the character, I was like, no, yes. Fuck this, I'm out.
And then 5 days to figure out how much damage your character just did.
Oh my gosh.
So we used GURPS. Most of my actual like cyberpunk genre play, we used GURPS. Because you can do anything you want. And it's all six-sided die, and you can just go. I do want to give a hot tip, though, to our listeners, and I'll put it in the show notes, and to you, Grills. You probably already saw it in the notes, but while I was doing my research, I discovered that Cyberpunk, like all the games, are available in a Humble Bundle for $1, you can get the whole shebang right now.
Do it.
Right?
It's like, worth it.
I love this.
I love the energy of it, and I think you're right. I think part of like the thing about cyberpunk that makes it interesting is, one, it's taking advantage of technology, and I think anybody who likes sci-fi is like gets excited by the idea of we can enhance our world and also ourselves using science is like absolutely fascinating. But I think it is also kind of that romanticism of like over being the rebellious, like skirting the system and like, oh, the damn the man, save the empire kind of crap, right?
Right.
Like that's the energy of it. And I think that's one of the things that has always made that genre really fun. And then I laugh because I basically realize it's like Westerns, but with technology. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know. But it's okay if you're a woman more, which is cool. So I guess that makes it better a little bit. But it kind of is.
In this bundle, there are also books besides just the RPG. And one of them is Night City, which I have not read. But I think I definitely want to read now that I'm playing this game.
Isn't that also... There's a movie by the same name, I think. And I think it's based off of the book. Night City.
Horror. I think I know which one you're talking about.
Are you talking about Dark City?
It is a
Dark
futuristic...
Dark City, I think it's...
Dark City? Or is it Night City?
Oh, there is a Night City...
There was a Night City that was made in 2015 in Germany.
The VHS, because I can let you know how old it is based on the fact I remember checking it at Hollywood Video.
No, this was actually, there was one that came out in 2015 called Night City, about an urban 80s metropolis Night City infested with crime and violence.
Yeah, I believe this looks, that's the one.
Oh, wow, it's like a throwback. It looks like it's German, but it looks like it's like a throwback.
Mm-hmm.
Made in 2015, but like throwing it back to like the 80s, and it's actually
I
want to watch this now.
I think it's I might be wrong. Do not quote me on this. I think it's based off of that book. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. But the book is definitely like night punk. Listen to me. I made a new word.
You have created the new genre, night punk.
Night punk. Well, it's the best time to do a lot of this stuff. It just is.
It's the time of punks.
Oh, so much.
Yeah.
So much sneaking out. But I do want to talk about the difference because people, I think because, I mean, I talk about this kind of stuff and I've done, you know, little hacky things throughout my life and my aesthetic being sometimes punk, sometimes goth. People automatically assume I'm into steampunk. Like, I have a close friend who's like, can you explain this to me? Like, and I'm not, like, super into steampunk. We have talked about it in the show before. We had Taylor's Forge on. She's a great cosplayer. If our listeners want to look back
and
at that
episode. And an amazing seamstress.
Yes.
She's this amazing cosplayer. And a model.
But we didn't really go into the genre so much of steampunk, but it's quite different than cyberpunk.
Well, steampunk is based in the alternate history of basically Victoriana, whereas cyberpunk is based in the alternate history of the 80s. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's more like steampunk
and grittiness and cocaine.
But yeah. Steampunk seems more utopian. For the most part, in that genre, it's an aesthetic. Right.
It is, yeah.
My husband and I were just having this discussion about, oh, it's that book he loves so much. Shoot. I'll remember. But anyway, they have Vickies and they have dirigibles, but they also got nanotech, right?
Yeah.
And it's got a, and he was arguing, like, because cyberpunk is almost, it's invariably dystopian.
Yeah.
Like, everything has gone to shit, and you're starting over, where steampunk doesn't seem to have that. It's got a more idealized, alternative evolution of things. But this book,
it's
optimistic.
It's very optimistic, and if you look at, like, how the kind of modern world looks back at the Victorian era, like, glossing over a lot of the things that were going on with, like, lower classes. When you think Victorian, you think of the ladies in the big gowns and the, you know, the going on cruise ships and everything. It's only very recently that people have started kind of like looking more in depth, and relatively recently, that they started looking in depth into what like normal working class people and the poor had to deal with. So steampunk is at its heart kind of that idealized Victoriana with the addition of this kind of tech to it.
And and the nice, and that's where it gets so confusing too, because like people who aren't in those genres are like, they both have punk in it, so they must be related. And it's like, no, it's like, why do these words have punk in it though? And again, it's because of like there's something rebellious in the idea, right? I think that's part of where it comes from, is that rebellion and the idea of like, okay, we're going to punk it up. And like, that's it's so confusing.
Yeah, and it really shouldn't be, because I mean, the original coining of cyberpunk was specifically referring to the nihilism and the dystopian and the rebellion.
Well, I think, hold on.
I don't know if
it
fits
I'm
as well.
I'm curious about something. I'm looking up something real quick, because I did not realize we were going to go into steampunk at this point.
Well, I just want to differentiate, because I think some people don't understand that they are really, really different genres from each other, and I thought it would benefit people to understand that.
Yeah.
There's kind of an in-between genre that I like also that's called diesel punk, which is more like 1940s to 50s, and it's kind of like progressively
rockabilly
more,
meets
like rockabilly
punk meets cyberpunk meets
it's like you're about to hit like full pessimist, but you haven't quite gotten there yet.
Oh, interesting. I figured out why it's called steampunk.
Oh,
because steam engines.
I mean the steam part, yes, but so it's all based off of the scientific romances of the time period, right? Like H.G. Wells, Mary Shelley, Jules Verne, that kind of thing. The term steampunk originated in the late 80s as a tongue-in-cheek variant of cyberpunk. Cyberpunk
so
came first.
They literally are, and it's funny because people are probably more aware of steampunk than they are of cyberpunk just because of...
So, yes, cyberpunk was coined first.
But then in the 80s, people probably would have been...
Yeah, steampunk was coined by science fiction author K.W. Jeter, who was trying to find a general term for works by, like, Tim Powers, James Baylock, and himself. So, like, they were writing these, like, works that were kind of based off of the classics, like Jules Verne and everything. Mm-hmm. He was trying to find a word that encompassed what they were, So cyberpunk had become a thing, and he just kind of coined a version of it.
That's interesting, because it does make sense in that way, because, like, cyber being, like, super high-tech, and then steam is that, and like Ray was saying, diesel, that makes me think, like, Mad Max, right? That's that realm, because Mad Max doesn't have the futuristic, cybernetic, you know.
Yeah, I'm having, like, a Furiosa moment right now.
Mad Max and, like, the diesel punk is, like, post-apoc kind of stuff.
And it's funny how so many of these genres are, like you said, they end up being dystopian. It's, like, so common that there's some, like, dystopian aspect to the story, at least with the cyberpunk side of things. Like, it's usually, like, this is how the scrappy nobodies get by, is with they're keen with technology, so they're able to, like, survive and navigate the world, even though the man is, like, there's all these loaded assholes everywhere that just, like, have all the money ever and control everything for some reason. I love that story. Well, I like the scrappy lead, you know? I think a good scrappy lead.
I think it's interesting because now that I know that connection, you can actually kind of see where the cyberpunk elements would trickle back into the steampunk, because, you know, steampunk is at its heart very much more rose-colored and, like, idealistic, but then you get, you know, airship pirates.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's the punk aspect, is the pirates that are going after the cruise ship people that are on their big dirigible. And it's like,
well,
that,
and you know what else? We get to give super early fucking credit to Gibson again.
Yeah.
Because of the Difference Engine. Which is named after, like, the functionality of a damn computer, like, at its heart. And it's set in steampunk-type world. And
Gibson did a lot. Like, there's a few other...
like, it's named after Babbage's thing, so...
Oh, yeah,
The hell was the name of that book?
The thing, like, the Difference Engine. But the Gibson, I just read it for the first time a couple years ago. The Difference Engine by Leo Gibson and Bruce Sterling. And that came out in... Let me look. Really long time ago.
Oh, Loveless. Lovelace, that's who I was thinking of. When you said Babbage, I thought Lovelace. And that was like... Ties into the steampunk, like, very much, like, this... Also, with steampunk, I think of, like, Orphan Rebellions, where it's like, break free of the machine!
The urchin very... rise up? Like...
Yeah. like,
sounds
Metropolis.
Very Dickinsonian to me.
Like, I know Metropolis is not quite right, it's more futurism, but I freaking love that movie.
So why do you think that cyberpunk, considering that we have some of the technology... And computers have come a far, far way from where this all started, like, in the 80s. Why do you think it's still popular as a genre now, though? Like, why are people... What is it in there that keeps people, like, interested? Is it just because the science can always go further?
Yeah. Because the megacorps are real.
Yeah.
And that's bleak.
Yeah.
Like, the tropes
are
true.
I think it's part of it that, you know, we're just now getting into making... cybernetics that actually are, like, integrated, and we're almost there. Like, we're almost to the point where it's like, yeah, if you lose an arm in an accident, we'll just give you a new one.
Well, and there are chips that are being used for treating epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
Chips in your brain. I mean, we're not ready to just jack into stuff yet, but I know people waiting for it.
Or the hearing implants.
I was gonna say, the cochlear implants. Yeah, those are the cochlear implants are crazy.
So there's this,
like, people, the kids. There's, like, people that have never heard before that then got that and then heard for the first time, which blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm just waiting for the vision ones.
An idealism and a hopefulness to it. But that punk ass, oh my God, the man controls all the things. Like, we know they can't, like, the people who would be developing this tech can't get the money and can't get the education because of, you know, people just having to have their damn ownership of it. So the spirit of cyberpunk is very attractive to intelligent people, tech people, people that are into sci-fi, people that are into, you know, the idea of implants as a functional thing. I mean, it's got just so much appeal in so many different ways, I think. And of course, when you're a teenager, I mean, it's a really good time to just jump right in. It's like, fuck the man, you know. And then there's the aesthetic, which is kind of, it's got a timelessness. I mean, we haven't hit full implants that are visible and all of that yet, but a lot of the aesthetic being practical wear, like bikers.
I was going to say, like, biker gear.
I got my leather jacket. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. I didn't have time. I was like, I was just going to put on a bunch of makeup and my leather jacket, and that's my cyberpunk because it's and my combat boots, because there's a practical aspect. If I'm going to be pulling up manholes and I'm going to be doing some wiring, I need the pocket for my tools. If I fall off a motorcycle, I've got protection. Like, there are practical aspects to the aesthetic.
And it's true. Elon Musk did just start his own space program. So, we are, it's so funny, because, it was weird watching, because I decided to, turn on the stream and watch, the pod land and them waiting to, get the guys out of the little capsule or whatever, the splashdown landing. And I remember watching it, and, the woman from NASA is, trying not to cry as she's reporting, and I'm like, this is intense. This is the first time in a long time that people care about a space program again, and there's something about that I think is we're in that time where people are kind of curious again and want to try to push some envelopes again.
Totally.
Yep.
Well, what else was your, Linda, what was your first big, I feel like somebody has to have gotten their first dose with the Matrix, right? With a movie or something. Who was?
Well, so the Matrix came out, what year was that when it came
2000,
out?
99.
Yeah.
Because I was still a little crappy boyfriend.
I was just starting high school, and my parents and I weren't real big movie people. So I knew it existed, but actually my first, really big delve into, cyberpunk was, oh God, the name has gone away.
Oh,
no. It's really good. It has Harrison Ford in it. Someone help me.
Blade Runner.
I'm having a meltdown.
I'm having a moment.
Mine was Hackers, but Blade Runner was the second, and then The Matrix came along, and that just kind of reaffirmed everything that I loved about the genre.
I think I saw Hackers as a younger, but I didn't know what was happening, and I wasn't invested, because I think I started it, turned on the TV or something, and it was on the TV, and it was in the middle of it, and I was like, what is happening?
In some ways, I'm not really sure. Because, I mean, for me, there were stuff in it that, oh my God, I actually know how that works, and the music I love so much, and...
And I was an impressionable young bisexual woman, and Angelina Jolie was in it, and also this really attractive, several really attractive men. So it was a perfect opportunity to glob on and watch it a few too many times. What? Sorry. Oh, that's my story.
That whole nip slip. Woo. you see Angelina's booby. but I
just saying,
have this. I listen to that soundtrack regularly, and I have been through friends being busted or being terrified they were being busted. There was a boyfriend I had who used a handle that got used a lot, and one day I'm watching the news, and the FBI had busted this 16-year-old kid, Zaphod, and who had done all this hacking and stuff, and I was like, oh my God! I, thought it was my boyfriend, and I, ex-boyfriend, but we're still friends to this day, but I panicked! When I was doing notes for the show the other night, I texted, I was like, do you remember when that happened? Because, the whole group of us was immediately fuck, and we're hiding our stuff, and do we need to wipe our dries? Because we thought our friend got busted. And so, I really identified with that kind of taking your life away, zero cool, spending his time in jail shit.
I had a crappy boyfriend actually tried to convince me that that happened to him. And then like I saw the movie Hackers. I'm like, you are such a lying piece of
those movies were great for that, right? For people to pretend like they were way more tech savvy and you're like, okay,
this
you know
is 99.
You know that's not what the internet actually looks like, right? You know you don't actually control the internet like that.
No man, I use AOL to log on and hack the planet.
Oh my god, I'm immediately reminded of the scene from the John Travolta movie the guy has to hack in like 5 seconds while he's getting a BJ from the Swordfish.
Yes,
got Swordfish. Okay, got there.
That was the password.
But every time I see that scene, it just it makes me think. It was like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, I've had dudes try to mansplain some kind of tech shit at me, and I'm just like, you don't. Honey, I've been doing this since before the internet. You need to please shut your face. It's like, I know that's not how this works.
Yeah. It's also fun that there's definitely in either like harder sci-fi movies or even like you can see the elements of cyberpunk in there. Like I was reminded of Fifth Element, which is very sci-fi and also fantastical, but in the beginning scenes when you're in, I think it's New York where it's set, there's all these elements of like cyberpunk in the world. And it's just, it's great. It's a great backdrop too.
Now I'm going to have Ruby Rod in my head.
Golden Dallas!
You know, actually, yeah, a lot of mine came from anime, though. Because it just dawned on me.
Multipass.
I have my multipass.
Chicken, good.
Dawned on me that Akira and Ghost in the Shell, which were also, like, very formative movies in my early teens.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, duh.
And, like, Evangelion.
Oh,
and,
I love Ava. Like, that was my thing.
Like, so for me, like that would have been definitely in there. Ghost in the Shell, absolutely. It's funny though because
War Games.
I didn't get
one
that stuff till later. The Appleseed, yes.
Listeners
I
just
about
brought up War Games. I mean, it's not really cyberpunk. That's more the kids' movie thing, but it's got that same like little nerd.
Would you consider Cowboy Bebop to be cyberpunk, or is it more of sci-fi?
I feel like it's more of sci-fi western.
Sci-fi. Yeah, I love it. Like,
I love it too.
Alone, so good. Oh, Yoko Kanno. She's my girl.
Rob asked me something earlier. I just lost my train of thought. But anyway,
We're nerds.
Oh my god,
Girls
such
Plus.
Nerds.
That was like Scott's first like anime movie date. Was Macross Plus, where Sharon Apple, the virtual idol from the future, is like given a concert and Yoko Kanno does the music because I freaking love her and there's just lasers everywhere. It's beautiful. I love it. I'm sorry if I shut up about anime.
We're such nerds. It's okay. No, that's good. Let your geek flag fly.
Yeah.
Definitely a huge cyberpunk anime, like, just if that's a genre of anime on its own.
Yeah. start with that. And I don't know if Jen saw in the Discord, but I'll share with our listeners as well. I had this like crazy idea because I had to rush home from an event to get to record tonight. And I was like, wait, like if Linda runs a stream, I could log in. I could come in the Discord on my phone and start the show that way and then come in. And like, I've got like my dual monitor situation and log in the other way and we could switch over. And I was like, it's kind of like, given that, you know, the RPG is like, ooh, Cyberpunk 2020 is like, this is where we actually are right now. we're at this level. I can't just go tap and switch devices yet, but we're working on it. So if any of you out there want to chime in, let us know your first experience with Cyberpunk. What you think of it now, how you're liking the new game. What your first book was. We're interested in your feedback. Please email us at geekgrills@gmail.com or you can tweet us at geekgrills. So girls, what are you most anticipating right now coming up?
I go first, I suppose. Yeah. I have the rest of the week off from work, so I'm just gonna like putter around my house and do craft projects and finish making gifts for people because I have time and I don't have to go to work.
Yay!
I love my job. Don't get me wrong. It's a great job. It's, you know, I'm not miserable. The people actually care about you and I just got a bonus. But nice. I'm glad to have a week off.
It's cool. Make all the things. Make How about you, Ray?
This is my last full week, and then thank goodness for Christmas and New Year's Eve. So, I'm just ready for this to all be done, to go outside again. There's really nothing big. I'm gonna maybe hopefully do a drive-by visit to my mom over the weekend. We're gonna do a quick distance. She wants to give me a card in person, and. With because it has money in it, and she doesn't know how to PayPal because she's adorable.
You're gonna drive up, chuck the presents out the window, and there you go.
Pretty much. I love you.
A 2020 present drive-by. Thanks, yep. Coronavirus.
We should all get free drones for that shit for Christmas,
right? Yeah. Basically. I'm looking forward, but I guess I'm next. So yeah, me. Yep. Winter break. Holy crap! First year of teaching. My first winter break, I now understand why winter break is so amazing. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I have like 125 final papers to read over the next 4 days, and then I get to break. And I own a collector's edition of Shadowlands and have played like 20 minutes. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to actually playing some World of Warcraft. I'm also looking forward to hoping that I get enough Christmas money to play Cyberpunk 2077 and spend the next 2 weeks doing something that doesn't involve anything to do with the English language. So that's my plan. Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all? I mean,
I can try to talk, I guess.
Okay.
I am so tired of grading. And
it's only French from now on. No more English.
No. Oh, I'm so tired of everything, all the grammar. And they're so bad at it, but they try.
I'm looking forward to getting my hair done tomorrow. So I've been talking to somebody about getting my hair done for a long time. I have plague roots. They're very long. And I had this appointment for a month. I thought she forgot to put it in her calendar. And when I went to clarify the plan for the color, she said, oh, I forgot. Sorry. I could do it the 30th, and I'm like, oh my god, I want it specifically before my anniversary. And she's like, well, you could go to this other girl. I'm like, no, I actually was referred to you because I specifically did not want to give my money to that girl. So that's not happening. And she was going to come in on Sunday, and I'm like, I'm not taking a day off, away from you. It's not that important. And then I debated whether I would even do it at all. I was like, maybe I'll get a tattoo, because that lasts anyway. But I did end up finding someone else, and I'm getting, like, cool hair, like, blue, all the roots, and there's, like, I don't know, probably 4 inches of it now, and the streak being done in bright, screaming blue, so cool. It'll be a little bit of a cyberpunk lit look. And, I will not be joining the show next week. You guys are on your own, because it is my 21st wedding anniversary. And my husband took that and the couple of days off before Christmas. So that whole week we'll be off and probably playing a lot of video games, I hope. I don't have a machine that can run WoW, which makes me sad. But I do have Cyberpunk because it's on my Xbox. And so remember, folks, come back. You can watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings next weekend. I won't be here, but y'all will, and we'll be talking about delayed games.
Yep.
Because we love that. So they're just coming.
Cyberpunk 2077 might make another appearance.
It may. And Blizzard may.
Only if Jen's around to bitch about it.
So our next one will be on December 21st at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. What else can the folks do, Ray, for us?
Yeah, and don't forget, in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You become a patron at www.patreon.com/girls. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. Also, you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
Whee! And where can we find y'all on the interwebs?
Yeah, Linda, where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's M-I-S-C. And you can check out my store website at www.madcapm.com.
You can find me at The Gen Says on Twitter. And when I do stream, I do it at twitch.tv/TheGen. But basically everything I do, you can find at thegensays.com. That's where I am on the internet right now. I don't exist on the internet right now. I'm not even here.
You can find me on Instagram under Dappledame and on Twitch as Ray Ino when I stream, which I promise will be eventually again.
And I can be reached at 9 of 12. That's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game. GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.